$9 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Days of missile strikes between Israel and Iran continue to escalate, and now President Trump is calling for Iran's unconditional surrender of its nuclear program. A Republican has introduced a measure to limit U.S. involvement in Iran. GOP Senator John Thune is reacting.
Well, I mean, I think right now the president's within his authorities. He obviously has a lot of authority as commander-in-chief to respond to incidents that happen around the world. Obviously, we have a lot of military installations, bases, military personnel in the region right now. And so I think he's perfectly within his right to do what he's done so far.
A three-judge panel in appeals court is hearing arguments on President Trump's deployment of California National Guard to help deal with unrest in Los Angeles. A lower court last week ordered control of state troops to be returned to California's governor. And retail sales slumped in May, a sign consumers are pulling back on spending. Michelle Franzen, ABC News. The Democratic senator from California forcibly removed and briefly detained last week during a Homeland Security briefing in Los Angeles took to the floor of the Senate today.
Alex Padilla's voice broke as he shared his experience on the Senate floor.
I was forced to the ground. First on my knees and then flat on my chest.
The California Democrat said if authorities can detain a senator,
imagine what they'll do to any American who dares to speak up.
DHS has said the security agents protecting Secretary Noem thought Padilla was an attacker. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Meta, the parent company of WhatsApp, says ads are coming to the platform. That's a first. Users will start seeing ads from businesses in addition to updates shared by friends and family. Meta says the ads will be tailored using limited information. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Progressive Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare rates, so shopping for insurance might be the easiest part of owning a home. Definitely easier than this.
Psst, honey. Honey!
What?
Shh, there's a salesman walking up the driveway.
Oh, no, he's got a clipboard.
What do we do?
Get down.
Down?
On the floor, you...
Shoot, did he see us?
Why are you breathing so loud?
Home ownership isn't easy. But with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, shopping for home insurance is. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A northern Wisconsin lawmaker reflects on the weekend's political violence. State Representative Pat Snyder says the assassination of Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband and the wounding of a second lawmaker and his wife was shocking.
Absolutely shocking. So close here in the Midwest. to be able to invade their home and the premeditated thinking about this. I'm so glad that they finally caught him.
State Assembly is scheduled to be in session on Wednesday. Snyder says there will be a moment of silence for the Minnesota victims. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss confirmed to WIS Politics Monday his office has requested an increased security presence for a session on Wednesday. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was included in a list of names found in the vehicle of the man accused in the shooting of the Minnesota lawmakers.
Baldwin's office has confirmed that law enforcement informed the senator that her name was on the list. Vance Belther is accused of posing as a police officer and killing Democratic Minnesota State Representative and former House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, and shooting and injuring Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette. Democrats, U.S. Congressman Mark Pocam, and State Senator Kelda Royce have also confirmed they were on the list. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Nationwide opioid settlements moving forward.
Attorneys general from across the country have reached a sweeping multi-billion dollar settlement with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family over marketing and distribution of opioids. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced Monday the $7.4 billion agreement with the makers of OxyContin has not been finalized. Call said the next step in the process is that local governance will be asked to join the settlement contingent on bankruptcy court proceedings. Under this settlement, Wisconsin's state and local governments would receive as much as $80 million over the next 15 years. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy this Sunday during the 39th Annual Buffalo County Dairy Breakfast at the Rotary Ridge Beef and Dairy in Cochrane from 7 to 11. There'll be pancakes, sausages, cheese curds, maple syrup ice cream, and of course, milk, music with Ron Pronchinsky, kids events including face painting, a pedal tractor pull, and barrel train too. It's the Buffalo County Dairy Breakfast this Sunday from 7 to 11 at Rotary Ridge Beef and Dairy in Cochrane.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today, slightly sticky and still warm, with high temperatures scraping 80. Small chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening, turns more likely tonight. And we could get soaked tomorrow with heavy rain on and off at times. Cooler temperatures in the upper 70s. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently, it's 79.
Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us for a conversation about what is happening in farming, ranching, and across rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on the show today, we're going to talk about news headlines happening on Capitol Hill and much more. DTN policy editor Chris Clayton will join us for a conversation. That is coming up here in segment two of today's program. After the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing. Been a little while since we talked with Dan. I know they've been tracking a few things in the Minnesota legislature and much more. And so we'll sit down for a conversation with him coming up here in segment three today. Also, we'll take a look at some news headlines later on in the show as we're tracking, of course, more reaction to EPA's RVO RFS announcement and watching other news headlines throughout agriculture. So we will get to that coming up later on in the program. As we look at the market trade action, too, as we're working through the middle of June, pretty quiet in the grain and oilseed complex here. Soybean oil had a couple of days in a row where it moved its way higher amid that EPA news, but we're kind of backing off a little bit here today. Let's talk markets. Joining us now, Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk as we kick things off here on AOA. Garrett, good to hear from you again. And as I was mentioning, a fairly quiet grain and oilseed complex here on Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll take a break after yesterday and Friday's trade. Obviously soybean oil is readjusting after the new 25-26 RVOs have been announced, repricing themselves. Corn, just on a different planet here. We had funds were estimated sellers of 20,000-25,000 contracts yesterday. I think weather is pretty benign. The RVOs really didn't have anything to offer to the corn market. And we just kind of saw the funds kind of pile back in here.
Well, and it's, you know, you mentioned it too. Weather is pretty benign right now. It just doesn't feel like, outside of that RVO news that gave us a little bit of that pop in bean oil Friday and Monday, there's just really nothing bullish for these grain markets right now, Garrett.
No, there's not. You know, if you we can't necessarily trust the weather models per se, but you know, the GFS run did have some fairly decent rains this week across Iowa and you know, the heart of the Corn Belt, if you will. I do know that the dry areas of the, you know, Dakotas needed some rain and they got some rains. You know, it's mid-June. Yeah, I don't think the market's going to get really too excited about anything one way or another until we see this end-of-month stocks and acreage report. And, you know, I don't know if the trade is necessarily too concerned about acres as much in corn as they are as what is going on with these old crop stocks and why, you know, despite the carryout print being under 1.4, you know, 1.3, 1.4 carryout, that this old crop is acting as poorly as it is.
I noticed as well last week, and you are in Illinois, we had some of that big changeover with basis with ADM, I believe, in central Illinois, and that really kind of spread across the Corn Belt on the soy side. Were you tracking any of that? Any thoughts on just some of that changeover of the cash market here last week?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was a bit early, but, you know, this is the time of the year. You know, there was timing was kind of curious, obviously, around with the RVO announcement. But, you know, I think that basically it told you that the end users are covered, you know, with a basis week. Now it's coming back here, and the spread is kind of firmed here a little bit off of the RVO and the, you know, the order flow that came with that. But, you know, you got to remember that this biodiesel and all that, that's, you know, going to be towards the end of the marketing year, is probably going to favor more new crop. But, you know, basically I think, you know, one of two things, either end users are covered or, you know, they're trying to get out of the way of the spreads if the July was going to, you know, take off. But, you know, cash still, you know, it's under delivery here. It's not really anything to get too excited about as we get into, we're only, you know, 2 weeks away from first notice day. But, you know, this happens this time of year, just the transition from old crop to new crop. And you know, nobody really bids off the August or September too often. They just go straight to the November once they're done with the July. So just kind of standard operating procedure. I don't think there's anything to read into it too much as far as timing-wise with the RVO announcement per se, but just kind of coincidence, if you will.
We're talking with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. How concerned are you about the Israel-Iran conflict impacting commodities? We know it's had quite a bit of an impact in crude oil, of course, which that would be expected, but doesn't seem like it's had much impact elsewhere. Stocks, maybe a bit. I mean, your thoughts on the Middle East tensions right now?
No, I'm glad you brought it up because, I mean, it's kind of similar to last year where we had a crude oil market that kind of disconnected from corn. And, you know, the thing about it is if we do see a rally in crude, and I've been of the camp that with crude oil being under pressure, that kind of keeps the commodity markets under pressure. But, you know, even in the face of OPEC kind of increasing their output and trying to gain market share, it hasn't gone much below, you know, 70. You know, now we're starting to rally on these Middle East tensions. I thought that might have thrown, might throw a life vest to the corn market and lend some support, but it really hasn't. So, you know, last year was one of the years where we had, you know, one of the wider disconnects between crude oil and corn. And the reason that we watch that, obviously, is, you know, the 40% of the corn base is impacted by gasoline demand. So, you know, that definitely will help, you know, the blenders, but it hurts the ethanol margins in here for sure.
How about that livestock complex? Final minute here, Garrett. Cattle futures starting Tuesday a little bit in the red, but, you know, this cattle complex, one has to wonder, are futures getting tired while cash still continues to run hot?
Yeah, I thought so, but then we had that big rally yesterday and the front end spread was weaker. So, It's kind of a confusing trade right now. Going home last week, it certainly felt like futures were kind of tired. But this front end spread is actually weaker on the board rally yesterday, which didn't really make much sense. It does feel like this board's kind of tired here, and when we have these kind of choppy big up, up three, down three type trades, then if we get people whipsawed a little bit, then people tend to pull on their hands and not really do a whole heck of a lot. I did see cattle slaughter yesterday was pretty light. Seeing some of my end user guys saying that some of the buying habits are trying to push more poultry and pork usage. And that's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, there's just, this cattle situation is just so tight that, we don't necessarily see the consumer balking here. I mean, the box beef values are up sharply again yesterday, and cash is still holding.
Garrett Toy, Ag Trader Talk. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great week, okay?
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, we are going to shift gears and talk news headlines from D.C. and more. Chris Clayton with DTN joins us right after this on AOA.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. Of course, there is a lot going on in our nation's capital when it comes to ag policy and much more. Let's get caught up on some of the latest. Joining us now, DTN policy editor Chris Clayton. Chris, it is good to hear from you again. And I'm sure, like me, you are staying very busy with this current news cycle coming from Washington, D.C., Chris.
Yeah, it's like drinking from a fire hose a lot of days, you know. That's become my popular phrase.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Drinking from a fire hose, maybe a fire hydrant that's on full blast. That might be even more appropriate. Let's talk Senate reconciliation first as we're watching the Senate work through their piece of this. There's talk that maybe we could see a vote by the end of the week on reconciliation. What are you hearing in terms of the Senate side and ag-related policy and more coming out of reconciliation talks, Chris?
Well, the Senate Ag bill is very similar to the House bill. It's got a few tweaks to it. The distinction is that the Senate will not have committee debates on any of this. You know, they put out their package. It runs through the parliamentarian. Any debate will be on the floor. There will not be a meeting in the Senate Ag Committee, for instance, to discuss it. There are a few tweaks in there. Kind of probably the thing that, you know, might help farmers most immediately is if, you would get the either the better of price loss coverage or ARC, depending on, in the Senate Ag Bill, which is a little different than what the House would give you for 2025, for this crop year. So beyond that, it's very similar in what it does there.
I noticed something as well. You just reported on this. The Senate tax package would allow foreign feedstocks to qualify for 80% of 45Z tax credit. And I believe that's a bit of a change from the House side, is it not, Chris?
Well, very much. The House side has, just simply says foreign feedstocks outside of Canada, the United States, and Mexico would not be allowed, and this would, specifically deal with that whole issue of used cooking oil from China that is likely heavily blended with palm oil from Indonesia, but we don't know that. But the Senate, I was very surprised when I read that yesterday that, that they would allow 80% for foreign feedstocks, which tells me, there was some influence, obviously, from refiners to kind of protect that. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that specific language as this whole situation goes forward.
It's something that obviously we'll have to see the Senate side and have this go back to the House, we presume. There's a lot of talk about Medicare, Medicaid, and a lot of different things. We're getting up against that July 4th deadline, so to speak. So I think, Chris, one has to wonder, does this truly get across the finish line before the 4th of July holiday? And as it stands right now, I'm a little skeptical on that, Chris.
The United States Senate is really good at missing deadlines. So, you think about it, okay, so they have changes in pretty much every single committee provision. Every committee's got something that's a little bit different from the House. So the idea that they would pass this bill and have it to the president's desk in 2 weeks, I just don't see that that happening. I would be surprised if it actually, the president signs it, say, before August, for instance. Just because the Senate moves very slowly. So then if you have the Senate passes its bill, well, then you've got to have a conference committees potentially at least hashing out from, the House and Senate version sides of things. And you got the whole issue that is not really talked about, that is the state and local taxes, SALT, the House wants $40,000 a year, and the Senate just kind of put it at $10,000, which is where it's at, which indicates this is probably something that's going to have a heavy negotiation on or be decided by leadership as well. So
we're talking with Chris Clayton, DTN Ag Policy Editor. It's going to be a fluid situation, Chris. I think that's the best way that we could put it. Another fluid situation, I guess I would say, is the immigration issue and the ICE crackdowns and this whole conversation over ag labor. And I know just in terms of the immigration side of this, we started to see these raids on farms and meat packing facilities. And now it sounds like that President Trump has pulled back that order, at least. What's the latest on the immigration front that you're hearing, Chris?
Well, the latest, was actually that, Department of Homeland Security came out yesterday, had a meeting with its people, and said, no, we're not slowing down. We're not stopping these raids. And that's going to be very interesting. So, the place that was hit, the packing plant that was hit, was not really a pack. It was just a processing plant in Omaha that made quick steaks. They haven't really hit, any major packing plants in pork or beef yet. And what's going to happen when they do is that's going to cause some sort of change in live prices for cattle or pork when that happens. That's when you're going to have, what I like to say, this kind of come to Jesus moment, is if you start having raids that start affecting live cattle prices. I've seen this before. I saw it in Nebraska literally 25 years ago when they didn't call it ICE back then. They started raiding some bigger packing plants in Nebraska 25 years ago, and it had a major effect on live cattle prices. Politicians from both parties got involved very quickly. And if Stephen Miller pushes this too much, that's when you're going to really start to see some extreme pushback from agriculture, is if you start seeing, your major packers actually being affected.
Well, and it's the broader conversation here, of course, is something that has been around agriculture for quite some time, and that is the H-2A program and reforms to the guest worker program and things of that nature. And I know, Chris, that you and your DTN colleagues have started a new series focusing on some of these ag labor challenges here that's going to be happening over the next several weeks. I mean, talk about that new series and just your thoughts on this broader H-2A conversation that I think we need to have here in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, we worked a lot on that. I got to go to California and Arizona and do a few stories on H-2A, and H-2A is very expensive. I actually visited some small farmers in Kansas that grow fruits and vegetables, and in Kansas they pay $3 or $4 more per person for H-2A worker than somebody in Oklahoma would pay to produce the same exact product. It's very expensive, it's very complicated for these growers. And it's pricing them out. And you have all of these complaints about, we talk about it when we look at trade. Well, yes, we're getting really, really cheap imported food products from Mexico particularly. And it takes so much more to grow a tomato cost-wise in the United States than it does to grow it in Mexico. Using the same exact kind of workers, the same exact kind of things. So ag is almost at a kind of a breaking point with all of the regulations and things that go into H-2A. And we've tried multiple times. We've seen multiple efforts to get a farm worker bill passed. What maybe you're starting to see now, though, is perhaps the farmers finally having all of this is pushing the farmers and the farm workers to have a better relationships to try to get something done that would change this. Whether that comes through an executive order or it comes from Congress actually making some sort of pass. The problem, though, is you've got hundreds of thousands of people who've been working here for decades, and that word will come up amnesty, and that's where the debate suddenly freezes, right? And we're kind of in this cycle. It just will not seem to get to a resolution.
I know folks can read more at DTNPF.com. DTN Ag Policy Editor Chris Clayton, good to hear from you, Chris. Thanks for joining us, and have a great week, okay?
Have a great rest of the week.
Up next, Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing here on AOA.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope. Hope.
Weather could... Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets are higher, reporting from Clinton Farms and the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days Media Day. I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update. July milk up 3 to $17.99. August up 3 to $18.62. September up 19 to $19.20. October up 9 at $19.19. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly lower. Technical selling has once again gripped the live and feeder cattle markets as the funds have decided to sell into that rally from yesterday. We have triple-digit losses across the board. Hog markets also moving mostly lower as well, as the hog complex seeing a little bit of the lower pork cutout values that led to some profit taking in the market. June live cattle down 260 to 224.42. August feeder cattle down 452 to 305.70. August hogs down 25 cents to 112.42. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. There is still some concerns about the situation in the Middle East and how that could affect markets. But that's really what's driving the markets higher here today in all of the grains, along with, again, some short covering as well. New crop corn up 3 3/4 to 438 3/4. New crop beans up 6 to 1066.5. July wheat up 15 to 551.5.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's let's continue the conversation here today on AOA. Joining us now, Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Blessing. Dan, it's good to have you back on the show with us. And sounds like you got quite a bit of water near your home farm here with some of these storms that have rolled through the last couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And appreciate being on. But yeah, we've gotten plenty of water in the last 10 days. I think we're probably over 10 inches here at this point. But it's just too much water at once is a bad thing. And probably by August, we'll be searching for a shower.
I was going to say, hard to say what happens later in the growing season. Any concern, though, with all that water on some of the early development in your fields and your neighbors' fields right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have drowned out spots. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, as a livestock producer, I can put some corn in those low spots here when it dries out and chop it. Other folks aren't that lucky, but there's going to be some damage. There's no doubt. And especially west of here, they had gotten 9 to 10 inches in one shot here about 5-6 days ago. And so a lot of crop underwater and it's kind of one of those things Mother Nature deals you, and as a farmer, you have to just go with it and try and make the best of it.
Well, I think about this time last year, we were seeing all that devastating flooding throughout southwest Minnesota into South Dakota, northwest Iowa. So fingers crossed that hopefully we do not relive that again here this year. Dan, let's shift gears. Let's talk about some of the things happening in the Minnesota legislature. I know Farm Bureau, you guys have been engaged with leaders, state agencies, and more throughout the 2025 legislative session. What have been some of the priorities that you've been pushing leaders on there in the state?
Well, certainly, appreciate all the members throughout this legislative session voicing their opinions and really helping to convey our priority issues. And some of those would be like full funding for the Board of Animal Health. Obviously, with the disease outbreaks we've had recently, that budget was getting pretty thin, and so full funding there. The Department of Agriculture here in the state of Minnesota, making sure that they had an adequate budget. Every year it seems like we ask them to do more and more with the same budget. And so as we were coming through this biennium, we wanted to make sure that they had an adequate budget. And some of that it goes into the Agri Fund, and there's a lot of good things in Agri, and it covers a wide gamut. I think there's over 20 programs, if you think of like biofuels infrastructure, farm to school, livestock protection grants are in there, meat and poultry processing grants, stuff like that. And that's a kind of a catch-all fund that really helps to promote agriculture and find uses for our products out there in society.
We think about, and we always talk so much about some of the broader national type of issues that we have to track. But when you look at various state level issues, I mean, to your point there, Dan, there's so many different things that happen across various states that really have an impact, on that economic and rural prosperity each and every legislative session, just like that's been happening here in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think of farming is very regional, especially in Minnesota. You go from the southeast corner to the northwest and vice versa, and north to south, we are very diverse. And so that regionality that we talk about at the national level isn't any different on a state level. And so some of these programs might not affect you. If you're thinking like elk and wolf depredation grants, some people don't even think about that, but obviously in the northern part of the state it's a huge thing, and we advocated for that as well. But going back to that regionality, that's why there's so many different programs, not only at the Department of Agriculture but within some of these budgets, general budgets, so to speak, really do make a difference on out in the rural areas. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like it when you look at current commodity prices, and it's kind of tough sledding for most sectors of agriculture right now.
We're talking with Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing here on AOA. Dan, what would you say is maybe the biggest challenge standing in front of Minnesota producers here as we're, at the halfway point of 2025? What's the biggest concern that you and members of Minnesota Farm Bureau still have potentially?
Just overall profitability. I was talking to a farm business management instructor here last week, and She said there's about 25% of her farmers that don't have an operating note for the 2025 season. You kind of put it in, and those bills are coming due, and they didn't have an operating note to start with. And just overall profitability, and that's probably the biggest concern. Now, I thought it would be a little more of a market mover, the announcement on the renewable fuels here last week from the EPA. But, obviously it jumped Friday, but then it gave back a majority of that here Monday, Tuesday on the market. But just that's probably my number one concern right now is let's make sure we can keep these farmers farming. And that would be priority one at this point.
Is there anything that could be done at the state level? I know on the national level, and we can talk about this in a second. I know we're trying to get some pieces of the farm bill through and things like that. But, you know, at a state level and thinking about that regionality and this cost price squeeze that's out there for producers, is there anything that could be done at the state and local level to help?
Well, certainly when you look at, programs like in that agri funding, anything we can do to make there is no silver bullet to getting farmers back to profitable on the grains and in those livestock sectors that aren't profitable. There's no silver bullet there, but there are little things, and whether that's biofuel infrastructure grants here in the state or the meat processing grants, just usage is usage. If we can get consumers to uptake more of our products locally, if that helps too. But obviously, to your point, the bigger conversations on trade and all of that are also going on. But there's several factors that go into trying to get this commodity market to jump a little and get back to above break even.
That's a very, very good point. As we look at the national side of the conversation, we talked in the last segment about where Senate is at with the reconciliation process, maybe a vote by the end of the week. I know there's a lot of back and forth going on there. Obviously, some of the pieces of the farm bill have worked through the House side, and now we're talking about it on the Senate side. And you know, Dan, when you look at the whole reconciliation process, the tax package, farm bill pieces, et cetera, what stands out to you on a national level right now? What are you tracking?
Well, certainly the reconciliation piece that came out of the House had a lot of good improvements that we've been talking about with our elected folks for a long time, quite honestly. Obviously, it's been a couple of continuing resolutions and prior to that, trying to tee up a good farm bill. There were good things in there. Having said that, obviously that's only in regards to spending. So there's policy aspects that we'd like to kind of get going too on. But I don't know after a reconciliation bill how much appetite there's going to be from the Democratic side to go ahead and put a policy bill forward, farm bill, skinny farm bill is kind of what they're calling it. I don't know if the appetite is there, but like getting back to the reconciliation from what we've seen on the Senate side, like I said, we're satisfied with the House and really happy to see a lot of the improvements we had talked about, kind of all the improvements that we've been talking about. And the Senate side I would assume it's going to kind of stay intact here. A lot of good things in there. And so we're excited to hopefully get to a vote and try and get something done here. Obviously, and originally they wanted it by the July 4th break. And, you know, these weeks fly by pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can get it done by the 4th of July. And maybe we can put our focus to a skinny farm bill and try and get some bipartisan support on that and go from there. We were in D.C. last week, and I will tell you it's very different opinions depending on what your office is in as to if those policy bills can go forward.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned you were in D.C. last week. Anything you could share that maybe you heard from the Minnesota delegation as you visited with some of those folks? I know House Ranking Member Angie Craig through this process has talked about how this has maybe fractured the Food Farm Coalition. Curious if you heard anything from her or Senator Klobuchar on the Senate side as ranking member. Anything from the Minnesota delegation that you heard last week while you were in D.C.?
Yeah, certainly. So I visited with Senator Klobuchar the evening before the language came out on the Senate side, and she was kind of interested to see what that was going to be. She had some concerns, obviously, but overall, I think she's knows this bill is there's a lot of good things for farmers. Obviously, the nutrition piece is another subject there, but I'm not sure that she'll end up voting for it in the end, just because it's reconciliation. That's kind of, no matter which side you're on, that's the game that gets played whenever your party is in the majority. Congresswoman Craig, I would agree with your statement. It's kind of a fractured state right now, and that's why I said I don't know that there's going to be an appetite to do a skinny farm bill, just because of the insult that they're feeling through this reconciliation process.
No, that's a good point, and it's something we're going to have to track as we move forward over the next several weeks. We're up against the clock. I know folks can go to fbmn.org for more information from the Minnesota Farm Bureau. President Dan Glessing. Dan, always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for joining us on the show. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
You bet. Thank you.
Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing joining us here on Agriculture of America. No doubt, a lot of things to keep our eyes on, both regionally and at the national level. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at Ag News headlines. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Milk has been around for thousands of years. In the Bible, the Promised Land was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, recommended milk for its medicinal virtues. And throughout our own history, as the land was explored and settled, a big priority was the acquisition of milk cows.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. This June Dairy Month salute is brought to you by Dunn Energy, your Touchstone Energy partner, your source for power and information.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy partner, your source for power and information.
Insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more.
with the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk. We keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Pollinators and beneficial insects like bees, butterflies, bats, and beetles are crucial for ensuring healthy, biodiverse ecosystems and crops for a sustainable food supply. June 16th through 22nd is National Pollinator Week, a time to recognize the essential role these species play. Protecting pollinators means protecting the future of agriculture and our environment. You can explore how to support pollinators at www.biodiversitystewardship.org, provided by Syngenta.
When a person calls 988, they're connected to a crisis counselor.
Crisis is completely self-defined. If you're wondering if you should call, you should probably call.
A caller can expect to talk about coping skills, talk about resources, and ways to move forward beyond the call.
They can call us, they can chat, they can text. And when they come out on the other side, they're feeling better.
Call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, of course, the Environmental Protection Agency on Friday released its proposals for the renewable volume obligations for 2026 and 2027, and many in the biofuels and the ag industry applauding the numbers. Welcome back to AOA as we continue. Take a look at news headlines. Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, says the numbers are a positive signal for America's ethanol industry and corn farmers.
We have been anxiously awaiting these numbers, and it was great to see them this morning. And this proposal, we think, sends a very positive, very powerful signal to the U.S. renewable fuels industry and to the farmers that provide our feedstock. We think it really represents an excellent starting point as a proposal, and we hope that EPA works quickly to finalize these volumes because, again, they provide substantial growth opportunities, numbers that are higher and much higher in many cases than what we have in 2025. So we're very excited about what we saw today from EPA.
Cooper talks about the numbers.
The proposed number for 2026, the total is 24.02 billion gallons, which would be the highest renewable fuel standard ever. 15 billion gallons would be reserved for conventional renewable fuels like corn ethanol, and the other 9.02 billion gallons would be advanced biofuels. And within that, EPA's proposal includes 5.61 billion gallons of biomass-based diesel, which is a significant increase from what is being required in 2025 and should really help that side of the industry get back up on its feet and start increasing volume again.
And he talks about when those numbers get set in stone.
EPA is going to be receiving and soliciting feedback and input from the public and from stakeholder groups like the Renewable Fuels Association. They're looking at a 45-day comment period. They'll also have a public hearing. They'll gather all that up. They'll analyze it, and they will make changes, any potential changes to the rule based on that input they received. And they told us this morning that they are fixated on having a final rule in place no later than October 31st of this year.
While other groups like the National Sorghum Producers voice support for the EPA's proposed renewable fuel standard volume requirements, as NSP CEO Tim Lust said, quote, sorghum continues to gain traction as a dependable low-input advanced biofuel feedstock, and this rule lays out important groundwork to expand our role in current and future biofuels markets, end quote. Clean Fuels Alliance America thanked EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin for releasing the overdue proposed rule, as Vice President of Federal Affairs for Clean Fuels Kurt Kovarik said, quote, continued growth and market stability
facility through the RFS will enable more economic opportunities, create more jobs, and revitalize America's agricultural sector, end quote. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Ag Committee, said in a statement, quote, the blending levels under the RFS advance the bipartisan efforts Senator Grassley and I have led to increase the blending of homegrown biofuels, including ethanol and biodiesel. As farmers continue to face headwinds of uncertain trade and tariffs, domestic biofuel production is a critical market for farmers, end quote. Well, also, President Donald Trump struck a win for the ethanol industry and corn growers last week when he signed a congressional resolution to rescind California's electric vehicle mandate. California vows to sue the Trump administration. But for now, a Biden-era waiver that allowed the state to phase out the sale of new gas-powered cars by 2035 has been rescinded. President Trump signed the congressional measure ending the California ban and that of 11 other states in D.C. that followed California.
You couldn't buy any of the cars except an electric powered car. And in California, they have blackouts and brownouts. They don't have enough electricity right now to do the job. And countrywide, you'd have to spend $4 trillion to build the firing plants, charging plants, firing plants.
California argued its rule would benefit both public health and the environment by reducing emissions, but the ethanol industry warned early on that the huge California market for lower emission corn ethanol would evaporate. Once again, here's Renewable Fuels Association President Jeff Cooper.
If that is, in fact, what happens, yeah, it's going to have some far-reaching impacts on the fuel market. And by extension, it's going to have an impact on the corn market. California is the single largest consumer of gasoline when you look at all 50 states, and the single largest consumer of ethanol.
President Trump also signed resolutions to overturn California rules that require most new trucks sold in the state to also be electric. But to pass the measures, Congress overrode rulings by the GAO and the Senate parliamentarian that the Biden-era approval was a waiver that couldn't be overturned like a rule. While President Trump's administration directed immigration officials to largely pause raids on farms, hotels, restaurants, and meatpacking plants, Reuters said that information came from an internal email, a senior Trump official, and a person familiar with the matter. The order to scale back on immigration raids came from President Trump himself. It appears to slow down a late May demand from White House aide Stephen Miller for more aggressive immigration raids. A source told Reuters that the president wasn't aware of the extra enforcement push, and once it hit him, he pulled it back. The president posted on his Truth Social site that he disapproved of how farmers and hotels were being affected. The United Farm Workers Union said last week that it was skeptical the new directive would help workers without legal status. The New York Times reported the turnaround in deportations of farm workers came after Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins raised concerns. Well, the Meat Institute is calling for the processing sector, a critical part of the meat and poultry supply chain, to be included in the Trump administration's plans for a stable and legal agriculture workforce. Juliana Potts, president and CEO of the Meat Institute, said, quote, as reforms are considered, we urge the Trump administration to include meat and poultry packers and processors in the efforts to improve agriculture worker programs. More than 850,000 hog farmers, cattle ranchers, and poultry growers rely on meat packers to market their animals, and consumers rely on processors for the nutrient-dense meat and poultry they feed their families, end quote. Now, meat and poultry processors keep the rural economy moving by producing the beef, pork, and poultry purchased by 98% of American households. Potts added in her statement, quote, our members need changes to the H-2A visa program and modernization of E-Verify to ensure the processing sector has a year-round workforce, end quote. And that is going to do it for news headlines here today on AOA. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we're going to discuss National Safety Month with Laramie Sandquist from Nationwide, talk about some of the initiatives they are pushing for agribusiness here during the month of June. We'll also talk about the Corn Sprint with Roland Leatherwood from the Mosaic Company. And we'll have a conversation with Blake Albers, the founder of Albers Craft Meats in Nebraska, and learn more about how they've shifted their business model on their farm to include processing and much more. All that coming up tomorrow on AOA. For now, thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. And 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Iran's military claims it's targeted Israeli airbases that have been used to carry out strikes.